Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
So here you are now, and the writer of Hebrews saying, listen, you know, there are people that they've tasted, they've seen God do things, but they never mix genuine faith in Christ.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
How do you know if your faith is genuine and pure and true? God puts you and I in our faith through the testing, through suffering, to see whether it is pure and true. And that really now is what you're talking about in life, because someday every one of us are going to stand before God. It is appointed unto man once to die. And at that point, whether rich or poor, whether well-known or unknown, every one of us someday are going to face the judgment seat of God. And so whatever faith you have is going to be tested. It's going to be tested on this earth, and ultimately someday your works will be tried by fire, but your faith will be tested. So, what are you basing your faith on? And that's why it's so important when you end up looking at what I want to look at today, this whole area of faith. Does your faith have a hallmark? Is it genuine? Is it true? Because in our world today, there is nothing going to be done to encourage your faith in Christ. And it was no different than it was in the days in which the book of Hebrews was written. And you find in Hebrews chapter 10, the statement is made in verse 38. We've been talking about it throughout this last year. The just shall live by faith. And the writer here makes this statement. And then for the rest of chapter 10, all of chapter 11, and down through chapter 12, verse about through 3, he gives an exposition of what faith is. And so in your outline, I just really want to give to you today, I'm only going to get to the first two of 3 points, come back, we'll finish that out, on the area, first of all, the explanation of the Christian faith. What in the world is the Christian faith? And I want to answer 3 very simple questions. I don't want to take time and answer the second point of the matter, which is the expression of that Christian's faith out of chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. And so for this particular chapter, I just want to give you these 3 simple questions. I'm going to move through this, and very relevant, very simply, a couple of quick questions. One of them is, who wrote the letter about this faith? I think it's a fair question to ask, because the explanation that Christian faith, that every Christian is urged to live by faith, so he's got to define what it is. And I think it's good to be able to say, okay, who in the world wrote the letter about this faith? The writer himself. Could be debatable who the writer is, but I know who the author is. The author is the Spirit of God. 1 Peter chapter 2. These holy men of old were moved as they penned the words of God. He goes, the whole book of Hebrews. Let me step back to the teacher right here. Whole book of Hebrews. If you take 8 Old Testament passages, which is what Hebrews did, and then made explanation of out of all 8 of those Old Testament passages. And one of those, the 6th one, is right here. Hebrews 10, 32 through 12, 3 is an expositive or exposition of our key text, Habakkuk chapter 2, which is the just shall live by faith. The Old Testament writer stated that. You start with, all right, who wrote the letter, which I ultimately, let's just leave it as the author of the Holy Spirit, and who are the recipients of this faith? He mentions some interesting statements. Notice in verse 38, he said, now if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition. We, the writer, he says, we're not of them. who are drawing back under perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And he is evidently saying, in this group of people that are reading this letter are different groups of people. There are those that genuinely believe, and there are those that really are not believing. In fact, let me have you flip back in your Bible. Can I have you do this to Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. After laying out who these people are, that these Hebrews, these Jews, he's not writing to Gentiles, you and I, he's writing to Jews in this context. And he says, let us therefore fear, verse 1, lest the promise being left as of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Your complete trust is in God. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, the good news preached, as well as unto them. So you got us and them. But the word preached did not profit them. Who's them? It wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. Evidently, there were some people that were hearing the word of God, but faith wasn't mixed in their intellectual thinking or their emotional feelings. And because faith wasn't mixed in, you had people that were genuinely believing and those that evidently were not. Which, by the way, when we're talking about the question of who were the recipients of this faith, there were, first of all, people that were believers. They were saved. It was those that believed the gospel. It was those that were very immature in their beliefs. It was those that, in addition, were tempted to hold on to, really, as the Jews, the symbolic meaning and all the Old Testament symbolism. And they were coming to Christ very simply. They were doing what it says, the gospel. They had realized, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. And I call upon the name of the Lord. But there evidently were others in the church, in the congregations, that were actually not believers. They were those that didn't have faith mixed with their own thinking. You say, well, Pastor, is that going to be a big difference? Yeah. Because now what you end up having is not just the believers, but a second group of unbelievers who were intellectually convinced of the gospel. They were intellectually persuaded, but spiritually, listen, they were spiritually uncommitted. They knew it in their head. Hey, tell me the gospel. Tell me who Jesus Christ is. They could tell it to you intellectually, but there was no faith mixed in. And you know what the Bible says? Evidently, these were the people now that were not saved. These were people that had in their head, didn't have a possession of life. And in addition to that, there were also people that were looked like they were saved, but they really were not. They were Jewish unbelievers who were not convinced of the gospel's truth, had some exposure to it. Fact is, I'm doing something really dangerous right here, but I cannot help. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Can I just make a comment about this? And I'm going to do a dangerous thing here. I'm going to end up touching on a verse here, and then I'm going to lose you, because some of you are going to stay plowed. You're plowing the ground right here in Hebrews 6, and I'm never going to get you back to Hebrews 12. But I want to make comment about this, because you'll end up finding some that'll take passages like Hebrews 6. And now the writer is talking about those that are not believers. He's talking about those that are looked like they were saved. Fact of the matter is, look at verse 4. He's talking to these people. He says, therefore, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and who are made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and had put him to an open shame. Boy, that could get confusing. You read that Bible and say, whoa, man, that must be people that, you know, they must be saved. Look, I mean, they were enlightened. They tasted of the heavenly gift. They were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about unsaved Jews that were exposed to spiritual things. And now realizing that they had tasted it, they were enlightened, they intellectually heard it, they understood it, but they did not mix faith within that, and therefore they were never really saved. It is not teaching, oh man, you mean I can get saved? I can be enlightened. Notice, by the way, in this text right here, there is no mention of terms that you would recognize that the Bible does use regularly about genuinely saved people. Saved, born again, holy men, none of those terms are used. This is talking about a person, listen, just as it was, let's go back, these are Jews here, to the days in which the Jews were in the wilderness. There were people that came out of Egypt, and they were there mixed with a group people. Jews that were genuinely knew Christ, looking at forward to the Messiah, worship God in the tabernacle. You also had people there that saw it every day. Man, they saw the smoke rising up out of the ark. They saw God do unbelievable things. They knew in their head, if you had asked a Jew in that day in the wilderness, do you believe in God, Jehovah? Do you believe in God, an almighty God that does things? Duh, yes. Why not? I mean, how can you deny an all-powerful, almighty God like that? But they genuinely did not mix faith in with this. So here you are now, and the writer of Hebrews saying, listen, you know, there are people today that they've tasted, they've seen God do things. They've seen some things that they were sure, man, I got that. But they never mixed genuine faith in Christ. Never did. And that's why when you end up finding now the genuine believers that out of their immaturity wanted to go back to the system, wanted a religious structure, so see, man, that makes me spiritual and it makes me secure. And Christ is saying, listen, I'm taking you out of that. I'm taking you in a relationship now with me. And that's why he says, can I pull you back now to Hebrews 10? And I appreciate you staying with me. And I know I'm kind of drawing to another layer here, but stay with me because Hebrews chapter 10, he makes the statement in verse 38, the just shall live by faith. Comes out of Habakkuk, a time in Habakkuk, the minor prophet that also had similar situations that they did in Christ's time as we do today. People that were not end up genuinely faith in Christ. And that's why he says, now if any man draw back, starts pulling away, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. I'm not going to be happy. How do you please God? He said, I'm not going to be pleased. By the way, can you jump ahead to chapter 11? You know how you please God? Verse 6. We'll get to this. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You want to please God? You don't have to work at it. He's not expecting you to do all kinds of things. He's wanting you to end up giving your heart to Christ and in faith believe that Christ is the answer. And so therefore, he says in verse 39, now none of them who draw back under the perdition, but of them that believed the saving of the soul, they mixed faith in, therefore there is genuine truth, there's a genuine conviction. Notice who are the recipients of this faith. Who are the recipients? These were the people that received and mixed in faith of what is truth.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.